soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, sounding the alarm on November 21st, 2018. One of the most wonderful things about being a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, is that it's not intended to be a religion at all. In fact, this is about a kingdom, an invisible kingdom of God that has Jesus Christ as the King. And the Lord calls us out of the world, out of religion, to follow Jesus. And we'll find the teachings of Jesus as we read the scriptures to learn more about our Lord, because there comes a time when we love the Lord, we seek Him, and we learn His voice, and we learn the doctrine of God that God teaches us. God can use people, God can use anything, and He does. But the key is that the Lord has called us to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all the things we need, He will give to us. He adds to us. But there's nothing new under the sun. As things have been, so shall they are, so shall they be. And there's a paradox in the earth that there's a religious world that on the surface may look like it's of God, because they use the things of God, scriptures, the language often, but we have to learn from the Lord how to discern and distinguish between what is of God and what is not of God. One such man that is a great example of one coming out of religion to follow the Lord is Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. But today we're going to get into what Paul was addressing in Philippians chapter 3 and many other texts. This is what Paul said in Philippians 3 verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's an intense focus. And Paul in other places has talked about that we liken our walk with the Lord as a race, and we run the race to obtain this prize. We keep our body under subjection and discipline like an athlete would, or one that's in a boxing match. We're not swinging our arms around needlessly, wailing them around, but we're skilled. And we're about this warfare that we are in, and we're not entangled in the affairs of this world, that we may please Him that's called us to be a soldier in Jesus Christ. Because we are indeed in a war. We are indeed in a battle. But as Ephesians chapter 6 has stated, we're not in a war against flesh and blood. Oh no, we're against spiritual entities and powers that operate through wicked men and people. Even the cosmo creators, those that rule through authorities of darkness. So this is why we put on the whole armor of God. And we give no place. We do not partake in darkness. We do not have fellowship with darkness, but rather expose it. That's in Ephesians chapter 6. So Paul says, I press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he says, let us therefore as many as be perfect or mature be thus minded. And if anything be you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. I want to state one of the most important things about our walk with the Lord. When I came to the Lord in February 3rd, 1981, I had been believing since I was a child the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's many times when the Spirit of God came upon me and convicted me, and God by His sovereignty kept me where I would only go so far in my lawless and sinlessness, in my ignorance. But after breaking my collarbone as a 23-year-old, this is when God put me into a process of deep sorrow, repentance. I would weep before the Lord because my life stopped. I couldn't do the things I normally did. So my focus was upon the Lord, and I would read scripture. And finally that day came, and I said, Lord, I want to serve you. You be my teacher. And that was a phrase I had read in the Psalms where David had said, the Lord is my teacher. He makes me wiser than my teachers. So this message today is about forgetting what's behind. And we're going to find out, what is Paul addressing? What is he talking about, forgetting the things that are behind? Because I've looked at what others have said he was talking about, and it's a very superficial expression. And I don't know whether it's purposeful, because Paul was talking about very specific things, a very specific system, actually, and people that were involved in this thing that he left behind and didn't even consider it. I want to say this. All things that we learn and should learn must come from direct relating to the Lord Jesus, our master. You can't have two masters. You can only have one master. You try to have two masters, you'll hate one, you'll love the other, you'll hold to the one, you'll reject the other. And that could be money, it could be people, it could be anything. But you can only have one master. Jesus is the one that bore our sins in his own body. He shed his blood. We're redeemed by his blood. Jesus was taught by the Father, it says in John 6:45. Repeatedly, Jesus made this clear, that he was taught by the Father. We are to be all taught of God, and that's in John 8:28. Jesus sends the Spirit of truth, whereby we have no need of a man to teach us, but the Spirit of truth, which abides in us, is to teach us. That was John's witness in 1 John 2:27. And if you go through the scriptures of John 14 through 16, it's very clear. This is what Jesus has told us, that the Holy Spirit will be your teacher. He'll guide you. He'll lead you into truth. He'll give you remembrance of all things that the Lord has said. That should be wonderful to you. And it is to me too. Knowing this voice of the Lord, recognizing this anointing, perceiving the truth of God, all of this that brings understanding in our hearing and perceiving in our seeing is to come from the Lord. And the prophets, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, have all talked about religious people, even leadership, hearing but not understanding, seeing but not perceiving. And there's a reason. It's because of hypocrisy. It's because the heart waxes hard by iniquity, and their heart has pushed God away very far. And all they're doing is to honoring God with the mouth, drawing near with the lips. Their hearts are far from God, and they teach for doctrines the commandments of men. And because of this purpose, Isaiah 29:10-13 shows the process of the seers, the prophets, and the rulers. God had closed their eyes and given them blindness, and the book, the scriptures, was sealed. And they had no revelation of the word. Paul talked about we are to have the eyes of our understanding enlightened, Ephesians 1:18. We are to receive understanding and the acknowledgement of the mysteries of God. That's in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. Interestingly, this phrase acknowledgement of the mysteries, if you look it up in the Greek, it's epignosis, gnosis, knowledge, epi, above. It has to do with perfect knowledge. Would you like to have perfect knowledge? Would you like to have understanding? Well, it comes from Jesus. He is the Word of God. And he's the one that shows us all things that are given to him from the Father if we obey him and we're his friend. Remember, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about friendship with the Lord, having faith, and having ears that hear him, and faith comes by hearing. And this is what God has called us to, a wonderful intimacy, disciples following in his steps. Christ is all the knowledge, all the wisdom is hidden in Jesus Christ. In Colossians 2, in following after that beautiful blessing, there's four warnings by Paul. Four. About those that would come to beguile you, to spoil you, to judge you, or again, beguile you. Four times in Colossians 2. Colossians 2, 4, verse 8, verse 16, and verse 18. So I share that as an introduction, as God has called us into intimacy with Him to hear the voice of our shepherd. My sheep know my voice, and we are to be taught of the Lord, and that's what Jesus taught. Now, in the very recent days, the Spirit's been illuminating these things to me, and as written in the scriptures. And in Mark chapter 7, 2 through 12, Jesus answered the question of the Pharisees. They asked, well, why don't your disciples keep the tradition of the elders? And that was a fact. They were following what Jesus said, and they were standing aside and not walking in the ways of the elders and the fathers of established institutional religion, the Jews' religion. And Jesus pointed out in Mark chapter 7 that they were actually violating God's word. Let's read that. Mark chapter 7. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, this is one of their customs that they were citing, they were offended because the disciples of Jesus weren't washing their hands. They found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels and of tables. A very elaborate system. But you notice what it said. They received to hold. Verse 5, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Jesus said, he answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. That's in verse 9. So now we're finding out that by doing this, by having this hypocrisy that honors God with the mouth, but he's really far from your heart, and you're teaching doctrines of man, now your worship is useless, pointless, without results. That's what vain means. And they're laying aside the commandment to hold the tradition, and they're rejecting God's commandment to keep this tradition. And Jesus gave some more examples about honoring the father and mother and having these odd customs that violated the very words of God. Verse 13, Jesus said, by doing this, you make void the word of God, making the word of God of no effect, which has to do with you're making God's word of no authority. And this is relayed in the Greek. You're not keeping God's word as authority. You're keeping man's word as authority. You see how serious this is? You make the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things you do. And when he had called the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. And Jesus explained, completely confounded their doctrine, where they thought you were unclean by what went into you. And Jesus made it clear, it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man, it's what comes out. They had it 180 degrees upside down. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. We're going to find out what Paul, a Pharisee, an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin, concerning the law, more zealous than all his brethren, his countrymen, what he was forgetting and what he was moving forward into. The The very word tradition, by looking at the lexicon, has an element of transmission. You know, it's passed from one generation to another, or from one people to another people. It's transmitted. Leaving, laying aside, rejecting God's word in order to receive the transmission of another idea. And it's the Greek word paradosis. Adam and Eve did this in the Garden of Eden. They were deceived and laid aside the commandment of God in order to receive what Satan said. They died in their sin. King Saul, he's another example of this disobedience to God's commandment. God rejected Saul. God tore the kingdom from him in 1 Samuel 15:28. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul said, I have betrothed you as a chaste virgin to Christ, but I fear that as Adam and Eve were beguiled by Satan by subtlety, you be moved away from the simplicity that is in Christ. His admonition later in this chapter of 2 Corinthians 11 was about that you might bear with, which means meaning supporting, standing with, tolerating those who come preaching another Jesus or receiving another spirit and another gospel. This is what we see today in the church world at large. It's manifesting specifically with ecumenicalism or universalism that seeks to merge and synthesize, blend all the gospels, all the different Jesuses, and all the different masters and spirits of the religious into one. At their conferences that they have, we have the celebrity exalted master preachers, so-called, banding together, performing on stages, promoting their leavenous false messages to the undiscerning masses. They even sell it. I made a note that there is an agenda by the powers that be to create a mega net over the religious masses. Crowd control, social engineering, a false message that darkens the hearts of the people, or as Paul warned, they'll spoil you from the truth and give you a falsehood, like Satan did to Satan, to Adam and Eve. It's a pseudo-gospel via pseudo-ministers that appear real, but they're not. They're fake and disingenuous. They're not real at all. They offer a leaven that corrupts the whole. A little bit of leaven will leaven the whole lump. 1 Corinthians 5. The messages that they promote offer worldly principles, vain deceit, traditions of men, and not after Christ. And that's exactly what Colossians 2 warned about. They deliberately censor the full counsel of God and give partial truth. People in the churches are generally not told to lay down your life. That Jesus said, you got to hate your life in this world. You got to love the Lord over all your relationships, all things in your life. Even right down to your own life. Otherwise, you can't be his disciple. You're not worthy. And he said, count the cost. Before you build a tower, before you go to war, you got to make sure you're going to make it. And then he said, the salt without savor is worthless, and it's just thrown out. And guess who's the one that Jesus is talking about? He's talking about people that have no salt. They have no savor. And he's just going to throw it out. And men are going to trample it underfoot. The exalted masters of corporate churches promote a say yes to Jesus. That's the new thing. They have these monthly programs, monthly themes that they agree to perform in their boardrooms. And it's all about pushing the brand. It's not about promoting the gospel. It's not about promoting the kingdom of God. It's about promoting their brand of business. How do we entangle the people? How do we give them what they want to hear? The smooth words, the lighthearted words, the frivolous words, like the false prophets of old have always done. There are many that swerve, go astray, forsake. They follow after other things and many other descriptions of various characters in the Bible that follow cunningly crafted deceit and false doctrines. Jesus said to the Pharisees and scribes that they did this many times in things they have delivered. Peter declares that we are not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conduct, received from the tradition of the fathers. That's 1 Peter 1:18. This expose, this message I'm relaying to you by the Spirit of God today is something to very seriously consider. Please do. Now, we're going to get into Philippians chapter 3. Forgetting those things that are behind. The other day I was writing about this. But as I sat down again the next day and looked at this chapter, I was struck by this vital thing. I saw something astounding in the second verse. Three times Paul urged, beware, 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 beware. Of what? Dogs. Evil workers. The concision. Who are these people? Well, they are the builders that reject the chosen and precious cornerstone, Jesus Christ, being disobedient to the word of God. That's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. And what an amazing thing this is, that Jesus Christ comes as a living stone, elect and precious by God the Father, and then these characters called builders, but they reject him, and they actually killed him, crucified him. As in Acts chapter 4, the apostles were telling the Jews that the elders and the high priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, all these people had rejected Jesus Christ, but it was the predetermined counsel of God for this to happen. Praise the Lord. This is how we have redemption, through this act. And one day, we are in hope by mercy that the Jews that are blind even to this day, a remnant will return if they return in repentance and have faith in Jesus. That's in Romans chapter 11. They are the elders. They are the builders that reject the chosen and precious cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And they build with their hands an alternative building with an alternative cornerstone that is not elect at all, that is not precious at all. And they use their flesh and they sweat in their carnality, in their vanity, in their worldly principles, building a spiritual enterprise that is corrupt and just the same as it always was, iniquitous, workers of iniquity. They lay aside the commandment of God to promote their transmission of ideas, doctrines, gospels, fake Jesuses, and wicked spirits. Who are the dogs? Who are the evil workers? Who are the concision? We're talking about this. This is what Paul's forgetting, moving away from, because he was one of them. They make merchandise of the people. They make the Father's house a den of thieves and robbers. They form an alliance with rebelling secular kings of earth. Psalms 2, seen in Acts 4, seen throughout history, seen today. They take the key of knowledge away from those that would have entered in. Those that are trying to seek God, they take away the key of knowledge and give them a falsehood and lead them away from the Lord, making it impossible for these people to enter in by their corruption because of the leaven. False doctrine and hypocrisy. They glory in men. They boast in the works of their hands. They name brand their church. And these, quote, churches are truly synagogues, incorporated, name branded, and run as a business. Matthew 21, 12 through 13. Mark 11, 15 through 18. Luke 19, 45 through 47. And John 2, 14 through 17, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all describe Jesus' outrage as he went through the Father's house that had been turned into a den of thieves with sellers and buyers selling their wares. It was a big business, and it still is today. Even Jeremiah 7, 8 through 14, the Lord had talked about how they turned his house into a den of robbers. You might recognize when we talk about thieves and robbers, it's part of the cast of wicked people that Jesus mentioned in John 10. The stranger, the wolves that come in sheep's clothing, the thieves and the robbers, and don't forget the hireling who works for the corporation, who doesn't care about the sheep. He's just in it for the business and the honor and whatever else he can get from women. Nothing is new under the sun, Ecclesiastes 1:9. There's much to say about this, but you can only see this if you are willing and faithful to the Lord as he reveals things to the humble. Jesus said this, I thank thee, Father, for you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Matthew 11:25, Luke 10:21, 1 Corinthians 2:10. The Spirit reveals the things that are of God to us. I observed in reading a few writers of the Philippians 3 text how the majority, other than one source in my observation, all gloss over this topic of Philippians 3. I noted how authors sanitized the text of Philippians 3 and gave a rather diminished message that Paul was clearly expressing. And I thought, I wonder why they would do that. Well, we know that some people are just blind and they can't see. We were told that in Isaiah chapter 29, 10 through 13. The seers, the prophets, the rulers, the ones that are esteemed with the doctors and the masters, the elders, the officials, the fathers. They've gone astray from God and they can't see. They're blind guides leading the blind, blind leaders leading the blind. And they both fall in the ditch, Jesus said. So why would authors do that? Some do not see the truth of the text. They're blind for some reason. Maybe they're not faithful. Maybe they love their disobedience. Maybe they've not sought the Lord. Maybe they wouldn't receive it from the Lord. Others deliberately obscure the message by only giving a superficial or light surface explanation of the text. But Paul was not just saying, oh, forget the past. Move forward in the Lord. Or forget your past sins and accomplishments and failures and the like. That isn't what Paul is getting at here, ladies and gentlemen. Paul is one that came out of false religion. He came out, which is exactly what the Greek word ekklesia means. And it's so sad that the word is translated with the word, quote, church, which is a different construct. That's a noun. This was deliberately by certain forces that govern the world, both secular and apostate religion, that translated the ekklesia, called out, as church. It has a completely different meaning. The Lord give you understanding in these things, because they're imperative to your walk with the Lord as you follow him, because God is calling people out in these last days to be a holy people, a righteous people with Jesus Christ as Lord, and look to the Lord to have you assemble in a New Testament pattern, in a New Testament way that's living, precious, intimate with the Lord and with each other as the body of Christ assembles and functions with God's presence where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, there I am in the midst of them. We're going to consider Galatians chapter 1. A Paul makes it very clear he's stepping away from religion, from man, and received it by revelation through the Holy Spirit, the gospel. And it did not confer with flesh and blood. And immediately he stood separate, even from apostles, for 3 years.